Welcome to Enclave on Air. I'm your host today, Jax DiEugenio. In today's episode, supported by Boehringer Ingelheim, we spoke with Tushion Alil, MD, and Misako Nagasaka, MD-PhD, about the FDA approval of zongertinib for previously treated patients with HER2 TKD mutant advanced non-small cell lung cancer. In our conversation, Drs. Leal and Nagasaka discussed the significance of this approval, key efficacy and safety findings from the pivotal Phase 1 BEAMIN-Lung-1 trial, and where zongertinib currently fits into the non-small cell lung cancer treatment paradigm. What is the real significance of the approval of zongertinib for HER2 mutant advanced non-small cell lung cancer right now?
The significance of this approval is that it provides another option for patients. Currently, the indication is for second plus line HER2 mutated patients with non-small cell lung cancer that have had prior treatment. And I love the fact that this is an oral option that the patients can take. And compared to other agents that have been under development, I feel that this agent is finally targeting the target just right. So very good inhibition of HER2, but not so much wild type inhibition. And that really limits the side effect. For example, the diarrhea rates and rash rates aren't as bad as the previous agents that have come through and have gone. So I think this is a really exciting time for patients.
I completely agree with Dr. Nagasaka. I mean, I'm very excited to talk to patients about having this new treatment opportunity for patients with HER2 mutated non-small cell lung cancer. And backing up, I think it's really key to, you know, make sure that we are doing broad NGS testing for all of our patients with advanced non-small cell lung cancer at initial diagnosis. The approval here is for patients with HER2 mutated non-small cell lung cancer after prior therapy. And the results look really excellent here with the use of this this HER2 TKI that's selective for patients with tyrosine kinase mutations. And I think importantly here, I think very well said in terms of the tolerability of this agent, an oral option for patients. Another important, I think, key highlight is that, you know, we also saw responses in patients with CNS disease as well, which is a very important clinical problem for our patients with non-small cell lung cancer and specifically with HER2 mutated non-small cell lung cancer.
So zongertinib is a novel tyrosine kinase inhibitor that covalently binds to HER2 mutated non-small cell lung cancer cells while sparing off target effects against the wild type in the EGFR. And that really explains the low rates of diarrhea and rash compared to other agents.
The first oral, targeted agent for patients with HER2 mutations, well-designed to selectively target HER2. We've seen mutations on patients with the tyrosine kinase domain mutations, but also patients with more rare mutations as well, which I think is a significant gain.
Getting into a bit of the BEAMIN-Lung-1 data, what were the efficacy findings that were really important to note here?
The BEAMIN-Lung-1 data was also published in New England Journal of Medicine recently by Dr. Haymack and all. And cohort 1, which was the main cohort, which included patients with the tyrosine kinase domain mutation, the number of patients there were 75. And the objective response rate was 71%, which is a really exciting number. The median duration of response was 14.1 months, and median progression-free survival in this cohort was 12.4 months.
Beyond seeing the high response rate, especially in those patients that were previously treated but without, HER2 targeted therapy, we also saw responses in patients who had been previously treated with chemo as well as prior HER2 targeted therapy. And importantly, duration of response, but also very promising progression-free survival. That was a secondary endpoint that I think is also very important to highlight. And then I think overall, as previously stated, we have data on patients that, had CNS disease, and activity in the CNS is also a very important thing for our patients. I think we'll see more data in additional cohorts, including a more real-world cohort, you know, really trying to understand the activity of zongertinib in a more real-world population that will be coming out from this trial as well.
In terms of safety, what else is notable to mention here?
Sure. So full disclosure, I had the study and I treated a few patients. And to be honest, the drug was really well tolerated. So things to watch out for, obviously, are diarrhea and rash, although the rates were much lower compared to prior agents that have come and gone, and also hepatotoxicity. But high-grade adverse events, the rates were really low. So for all grade adverse events, diarrhea occurred in 56% of patients, but grade 3 was 1%. Rash, 33% all grade, but grade 3 or higher, 0%. ASD increase and ALT increase, all grade, were both in the 20s. But again, grade 3 events were in the single digits. I'd also like to highlight the fact that the rates of dose reduction was low at 7%, and patients who ultimately needed to discontinue the drug, the discontinuation rate was also extremely low at 3%.
I think a key highlight of zongertinib is the safety profile and the tolerability of this agent. Another key safety point that I'd like to make is that no ILD events were reported. And so I think that's really important for us to highlight, since that is a concern with some TKIs as well as with other agents such as, you know, HER2 ADCs as well.
Looking at, you know, the non-small cell, you know, paradigm as a whole, where does this agent really fit?
So currently the agent zongertinib, the approval is in the second plus line setting. So that is where I will be offering it to patients. That being said, it's really exciting because we have all these phase 3 studies that are coming out trying to get these targeted agents up to the frontline setting. So the zongertinib study is ongoing, as well as the Bayer HER2 compound, savobertinib, is also in the frontline study, as well as HER2 ADC, trastuzumab deruxtecan, and they are all being compared to our current first line chemotherapy, carboplatinum and pemetrexate plus pembrolizumab. So it'll be really exciting. I have a feeling that in the next few years, we might see a dramatic shift in the landscape of the treatment of HER2 mutated non-small cell lung cancer.
I think sequencing is the most important question at this point. You know, we have very effective agents targeting HER2 mutations for our patients with non-small cell lung cancer, with both, you know, the HER2 TKI with zongertinib, as well as with HER2 ADCs with TDXD. So I think really the question here is, what is the optimal sequence for patients, and will chemotherapy ultimately become third line, depending on what these frontline studies show? But I think it's really important to note that when you look at the BEAMIN-Lung-1 study, the responses are clearly higher and the duration of response is clearly higher when you give zongertinib after prior therapy without HER2 targeting agents. You know, the response rate is 75% in the patient population with no prior HER2 targeted therapy, and drops to 40% range in previously treated patients. And similarly, we saw that the duration of response is higher in the patient population who gets zongertinib without prior, you know, HER2 TKI, HER2 targeted therapy. So I do agree that, you know, looking at the data currently, and also on the mechanism of action of TDXD, it would make sense to sequence zongertinib first, especially also given the tolerability of the agent, the convenience of an oral TKI. I think this is really exciting to have as an option, but I do think we need more data. Is that truly the optimal sequence for our patients? And then I think highlighting the CNS activity, that also is an important reason why I would offer it first, but clearly still want to know what is the optimal sequence, and at this time would still want to have both agents available for our patients.
There could be differences in the use of these medications based on an institution. But perhaps maybe patient population or patient preference might play a role here as well. And I think overall, it's really great to have different options so that we can have an informed discussion, share decision making, and come up with a personalized plan for each patient.
I think patient preference is also going to be key. You know, that the way that these agents are approved, you know, they're both after prior treatment. But it does allow, you know, on-label use in second line for both agents. So I think it's going to be very important to have that conversation with her patients, present the data, and obviously, you know, I think patient decision-making is key here. So that is going to be a big factor. Other things to consider are going to be cost, you know, the ability to, you know, have an oral medication covered. What do those costs look like compared to the IV, you know, agent? That is also going to be another important consideration, thinking about how to sequence these agents and which agent will be used first. I think thinking about toxicities that you want to avoid is also going to be critical. If a patient receives chemo plus immunotherapy in the frontline and they unfortunately had ILD or significant pneumonitis related to immunotherapy, you know, there may be a concern there about sequencing with an agent that has higher risk of, you know, pneumonitis or ILD. And so that would position zongertinib sort of before T-DXd in that setting. And then lastly, I do think real-world data will be very, very important to understand in the real world how patients are tolerating both agents, patient preferences, patient-reported outcomes and quality of life is going to be critical. And then lastly, I'm going to go back to the CNS data. You know, I've had patients with CNS involvement, leptomeningeal disease in this young patient population, and we definitely need agents that are going to prevent that, reduce the chances of that happening, or more importantly, treat that effectively so that patients can have, number one, longer time, but also quality of life while they're receiving therapy. I think the most important thing for clinicians and for patients is biomarker testing. We can't have access to the right therapies if biomarker testing isn't done for every single patient comprehensively. And that means doing liquid biopsy or, you know, tissue testing for all patients using comprehensive testing so you can identify those mutations. They're present in 2-4% of patients, so you do really have to test every single patient. There may be clinical factors that will enrich identification of HER2 mutation as a target, but ultimately, that is insufficient to really identify patients. So number one, critical message here is with the increasing number of effective agents and FDA approvals, doing comprehensive biomarker testing. And then the second thing is to really kind of educate patients on the importance of making sure that, you know, we all educate each other, educate clinicians and patients on the importance of not only doing biomarker testing, but on all this new data, and then talking about risks and benefits of each agent. But I think based on the data, the accelerated approval, while we're waiting for the frontline data, that's really what I want to see, is how we'll be using these agents in frontline. And I think, you know, HER2 targeted therapy, and perhaps with zongertinib as frontline, may be the way to go, depending on ultimately the final trial results.
It's certainly an exciting time to be a thoracic oncologist. I think we see approvals come through right, left, and center every few months. I think the one comment that I would want to make is that it's really exciting. It's rewarding to see these drugs that I have been involved in the clinical trials come through and get their accelerated approval. But I always want to remind myself that what is driving this science is really actually the patients and family members that enrolled onto these clinical trials and gave us their trust. And I think we have to really acknowledge that. So without the patients and family members who were on the studies, we wouldn't have gotten here. So congratulations to all.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive on Air, supported by Boehringer Ingelheim. Check back throughout the week for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates on oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. on X and Blue Sky, follow us at Onc Live. On Facebook, give us a like at Onc Live and follow our Onc Live page on LinkedIn. If you like today's episode of Onc Live on Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. And while you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thank you again for listening to this episode of Onc Live on Air.